Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Pamela Latour's Secrets of the Soul, a weekly hour of insights, increased awareness, and inspiration. Call the show at 8:15 if you would like a reading or with comments or questions. The number to call is 646-716-9663, and then press 1 on the keypad. Again, 646-716-9663. Or join the Spiritual Connections live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. Secrets of the soul are the secrets we share. Thank you for sharing your soul with me.
My lover's face is mine. Oh, oh.
Good evening. It's another Monday night, and you are listening to Secrets of the Soul with Pamela Latour. I want to start this evening's work by talking about a new direction that Secrets of the Soul is moving toward. Next week will be my very last Spiritual Connections show. So next Monday night at 8 o'clock, we'll do one more Secrets of the Soul. After that point, you can find Secrets of the Soul, but on a new Blog Talk station. We're going to—I actually set it up just a few days ago. It's called Pamela Latour Radio. Very simple, Pamela Latour Radio under Blog Talk, and I'll give you more information on it next week. You can always get to it through my website, which is PamelaLatour.com. Everything's very simple: LATOUR. And by next week, I'll have a landing page for the radio show set up for you so you can get to it. Also, in addition to Secrets of the Soul, which will still happen on Monday nights at 7:30, we have once a month we're doing a show called Soul Travelers with Patricia McGivern, who is a dynamic hypnotherapist, and she does past life regressions and all kinds of amazing things. So her and I are going to be doing a show together on Thursday nights at 7:30. Then we're doing a mastermind discussion group on spiritual topics, which is happening on Saturday mornings at 10:30. And all of these shows are happening on PamelaLatourRadio.com. So look me up. Don't miss the show, because I'm going to pick it up again. Next week, we'll still be on Spiritual Connections. The week after, we're starting a whole new thing. So you can catch it, the Secrets of the Soul, at 7:30 on PamelaLatourRadio.com. And if you can't find it yet, which hopefully it'll be set up by then, but if you don't find it, you go under blogtalk.com/PamelaLatour. You should be able to find it there. And as a last resort, you can always go to the website, which is PamelaLatour.com. Anyway, so that's the news, very exciting news. Now, a few things that we're doing. For those of you, let's see, where am I here? Okay. What we're starting to talk about tonight are addictions. Addictions, but not the same kind of addictions that you would normally be used to hearing. In other words, alcohol and drugs and even food, all of those things are addictions that the humanity has to deal with every day. But most of us are not addicted to those things. At least most of the people in my world are not addicted to those things. And I think probably the listeners that tune into this show have a similar set of experiences where the people around them are not severely addicted to drug abuse, alcohol abuse. Every once in a while, you find someone pops up in your family that is, but it's not you. It's not a regular thing for you. So, assuming that, We're going to go to a form of these addictions. We're going to go to an emotional addictions. Now, emotional addictions are more subtle. They are emotions that don't often generate how should I put this? Let's start a different way. Where you put your attention is who you become, at least in the moment that your attention is on things. In other words, what you think about and feel every minute not only assembles your next minute, it also actually puts you in the middle of whatever you're thinking about. It's real to you, and you become that particular thought and that particular emotion. We are sort of reality chameleons, but more than that, we're thought chameleons. When we think a thought, we become, in that moment, that thought. You get what you put your attention on because you are your attention. So taking that to a level of addiction, your body is a warehouse of emotional memory. Your body remembers everything that happens. When you meet Patricia McGivern on the radio show, you'll learn that when you hypnotize someone, you can take them back to any point in their lives, and they'll tell you what went on in the room, but they'll also give you information that perhaps they weren't even aware of at the time, like temperature in the room. And because our brain picks up so many billion bits of information, however, our brain filters most of those so that we become aware of only a couple thousand. Now, our body remembers everything. That's the idea. An action done over and over and over again creates automatic behavior. What do they call that? A habit, right? If you do something over and over and over again, you create a habit. Automatic behavior or habits plus emotion, you add emotion to it, especially negative emotion, and you get addiction. Now, how does that happen? Well, it's like, let's see, what's a good example of this? I was talking to the Body, Mind, Spirit gang the other day at the expo, and I gave an example of, a silly example, really, of brushing your teeth. So you get up every morning and you say, oh, I have to remember to brush my teeth, and you do it. And you do it the next day, and you do it the next day, and after a while, after 3 weeks, you don't have to think, oh, I have to remember to brush my teeth. You just get up and automatically brush your teeth. So that's a habit. It's a simple habit that most all of us have. Oh. What if something negative happens to you in the morning over a period of a few days? Now, this isn't a common thing, but let's say you turn on the TV in the morning before you brush your teeth, and there's some negative thing on TV. And what happens is you take on that negative emotion. So you go in, you brush your teeth, and you're thinking about that upsetting situation, that war in Syria, that difficult situation in Egypt, you know, the coup in Egypt or whatever it is that they're calling it. And you're looking at these upsetting situations, and you're thinking about them, and you're brushing your teeth, and you think about them, and you brush your teeth. And the next day you do the same thing. You turn on the TV, you listen to the news, and then you brush your teeth. So you've got this negative energy attached to the habit of brushing your teeth. After a few days, you decide, okay, that's enough television. I'm not turning the TV on again. You just go in and you brush your teeth. What will happen is your body will have developed a connection between brushing your teeth and that negative energy. Now, this happens with everything. But for the moment, what we're talking about is addictions, emotional addictions. So we're not going to get into what happens with relationships, and even though that's a fascinating subject, and hopefully someday we'll be able to cover it. Tonight, we're just going to talk about being addicted to our emotions and how to release that addiction. So, to reiterate, an action done over and over again creates automatic behavior. Automatic behavior plus negative emotion equals addiction. Do you ever run into anyone that eats to make themselves feel better? Well, that energy, that connection between food and making you feel better is the same kind of connection, the same kind of anchor. Now, the body creates, and this is fascinating, deep inside the brain, there's a little gland called the hypothalamus. The body creates a neurochemical, in other words, a brain chemical, for every emotion that we feel, a match for every emotion that we feel. So we're feeling anger, and the brain chemical kicks in, the hypothalamus kicks in and creates an identical brain chemical match for anger, and it washes through your system. Now, this is fascinating because that's what changes the flow and the speed of your body. What changes the speed of your body are these chemicals that attach to the cells and either slow it down or speed it up based on what emotion it is that you're feeling. Now, the body creates this neurochemical. That's why whenever you get bad news or there's something you're worried about or you're feeling sad or in grief or you've lost something or you're feeling afraid, what happens is your body slows down. You think slower, you move slower, you slouch a little bit more. Everything changes in the direction of being slow. That's why if someone stays sad or upset for a long extended period of time, they open themselves up to bacteria and viral infections and other diseases that are also moving at that same rate of speed. We are living in a vibrational universe. Everything operates at a certain speed. Everything moves at a certain pace. So if you're feeling at the same vibrational speed as a bacteria or a virus or disease, you have more possibility of taking that on. So the body moves very slowly with very sad negative emotions. Now, as you speed your emotions up, in other words, instead of feeling, say, apathy or grief, fear, anger, you see it moves up into a little ascending staircase of emotion. And then there's boredom and indifference, cheerfulness, happiness, enthusiasm, love, bliss. The higher you go on this little staircase of emotion, the faster the speed of the emotion goes. So your body, that little hypothalamus generates that chemical match, that neuropeptide, which floods your system, connects to the cells, and changes the speed of your body. So now you're feeling happy, you're feeling enthusiastic, you're talking quickly, you're moving quickly. Isn't that fascinating? It really is. So, well, let's go back to addiction now. Addiction equals automatic emotional behavior. Eating when you don't feel good. What else? Alcohol and drugs, doing something little, sitting down in front of the TV and just vegging because you want to turn your mind off, that's a form of emotional addiction. We can go on and on about what it is that humans create addictions for. And we create those addictions simply because we want to make ourselves feel better. We're always reaching for the positive. We're always reaching for pleasure and trying to avoid pain. Now, if you're not creating anything, this is important. If you don't wake up in the morning and create something for yourself, how's my day going to be? Who am I going to be today in terms of who will I be to the people around me? Will I be someone that makes things better or makes things worse? Will I be someone that adds to others' lives or subtracts from it? Obviously, if we look at it from that perspective, we're always going to choose the adding to someone's life, the making other people happy, the stepping into life with a positive footing and making other people feel better. But often we don't even think about it. We just get up, and before we're even out of bed, we're thinking about what we have to do today and all the meetings we have to go to and all the obligations we have, and don't forget to put gas in the car, and don't forget to take your phone with you when you go out the door, and all of these things are running through our head, usually the same things that were running through our head yesterday at the same time. And if you don't think about yourself at all in that little thought chaos that goes on in the morning, and you don't think about what kind of day you'd like to have, you don't think about creating some magic, meeting wonderful, amazing people, being in the right place at the right time with the right people for the right reasons all the time. You don't put yourself there. And by putting yourself there, I mean imagining you having just an amazing day, imagining it and then feeling it. And then letting it go and move on with your day. It only takes a minute to get your body to believe that what's coming up is going to be wonderful today. So if you're not creating that, you're not creating anything, you don't even think about yourself, you're just thinking about what you have to do, your body will automatically generate an experience that it remembers. Your body will generate energy that is familiar with. It will show you what you've told it or who you've told it you are. In other words, your body believes everything you think. I have a little sign in my front room that says, "Don't believe everything you think." Your body believes everything you think and takes it very literally. So, it's a tough place to be when you keep creating the same patterns, negative patterns, things you don't want, that keeps regenerating over and over and over again, and you don't quite understand why. I never have enough money. The love of my life always walks away from me, always leaves me. Why am I never good enough? Why don't I deserve a better life? Why don't I ever have enough time? And these negative thoughts just generate over and over and over again and play out the patterns. Your body believes everything you think. So it plays out an experience. In other words, your body is your subconscious, and it's also an automatic experience generator. It generates experiences for you, even below your awareness level, because you thought of something maybe, I don't know, a year ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, you told your body something about yourself. You told your body that you don't have enough money. You told your body that you don't have enough time, that you're unlovable. Whatever it is, the emotional messages that you put in there, your body believes it. Now, all addictions trap a person in old patterns. So every time you get addicted to a thought, you trap yourself in an old pattern. Now, how do you get addicted to a thought? You think a thought, you add a negative emotion to it, and you create this pattern. And then tomorrow, you think the same thought, you add the same negative emotion to it, and you create this negative old pattern. And then the next day, you think the thought, the same thought, shows up in your thought patterns, in the stream of consciousness that you determine is your brain or your mind, and you add negative emotion to it. It traps you in this old pattern. Your body will play out the experiences over again and over again and over again. Your body will play out these experiences. And you will experience it again. Oh, another situation showed up. I don't have enough money. Another situation showed up where the person that I loved left me. Another situation showed up where, and on and on and on. I get into fights with my coworkers. I play out patterns over and over and over again, and we all do this because we become addicted to our own thoughts and emotions. The body produces an internal chemical for every emotional state and circulates it through your body. That changes how fast you think, how fast you walk, how fast you talk, how fast you move. Now, the same amount of drug or internal juice created by this emotional chemical that matches our emotions and floods through our body, the same juice produced over and over and over again will elicit a smaller response, just like a drug addiction does. That's why life seems to be getting more and more explosive and dramatic. We're addicted to our emotions and need a higher and higher dose to feel it. You know, this answers a lot of questions that I used to have ages ago about why some people always live in a major drama. My family was one of them. We lived in a major drama. There was always a bad guy. There was always something horrible going on. There was always some terrible situation that had to be overcome, some bad guy that had to be fought, some terrible issue that had to be changed. And all of that is always, always an addiction to this emotional state, an addiction to a negative emotional state that they keep playing over and over again, and their body keeps generating experiences over and over again for them. Now, let's talk about this, because this neuropeptide that washes through your system, that matches the chemical, that matches the emotion that you're feeling, that neuropeptide connects to the cell and is the same exact system that that addicts you to heroin. It's the same system that addicts you to heroin or other drugs. You get just as emotionally addicted to emotion, or just as physically addicted to emotion, as you get physically addicted to heroin. That means that you not only have the challenge of changing your experience by changing your mind and deciding to make things better, but you have to literally change your body chemistry to convince your body that that's not who I am anymore. Now, let me ask you a question. What is your body addicted to? What do you keep experiencing again and again? Talk to your body. You know, your body is made up of trillions of cells that are all aware. Do you know a cell is the smallest unit of awareness that we know of? Probably smaller units, but at this point we're clear that a cell has awareness and function and intelligence. Maybe not in the neural system that we have, certainly not, but it has a level of awareness and produces changes within the cell that require a level of this intelligence. That means that we walk around in life. We walk around as the God of this, of these trillions of aware cells, and completely ignore them. Never talk to them, never smile at them, never connect any awareness at all with them unless something goes wrong. You get sick. And then you start paying attention. What if we went the other direction and said, all right, I need to really care about my body. It carries me around all day. If I didn't have my body, I wouldn't have anything in this game, in this dream, in this world. I'd be nobody. I'd be gone. I need my body. So what I'd like you to do is to just take a minute and close your eyes. This isn't going to be a meditation. I just want you to feel your body. Take a deep breath in and feel your whole body. Just get the concept of all that you are. Nice. Now smile. Physically smile. Put a big smile on your face. I'm smiling right now at you. And I want you to smile on the inside of your body. In other words, put your smiling attention, this loving smile, as though all of the cells of your body were children, were your little children, these trillions of little children that looked to you for guidance, that looked to you for intelligence and enthusiasm and love and life and bliss, looked to you to grow. All of those cells. Might seem silly, really. It might seem silly, but it isn't. The more you love your body, the healthier you will be. Now take a deep breath in. Open your eyes. When's the last time you walked by a mirror and said, geez, I like what I see? Not often, I'm guessing. What if the next time you walked by a mirror, stopped? And hopefully this is in your bedroom and not in the hotel lobby or somewhere. But you stopped and you put your arms around your body. You put your arms around yourself and you said, you know, I just love this body so much. And you don't let yourself criticize anymore. I just love my body so much. I love everything about it. I love it just the way it is. Now keep in mind that you are part of this huge matrix, this huge connectedness to all of the universes in third dimensional reality. Your body is a computer for holographic memory storage. It remembers everything that's ever happened to you. But more than that, your body is a piece of the hologram. Now, I know many of you know what a hologram is, but just for those that don't know, what a hologram is light interference patterns. In other words, if you take a picture of a body from four different angles and then you project a light through that image so that in the center of the room, you project it from four different angles in the room, and you project it toward the middle of the room. Once the light hits that other light that's all being projected at the same time in the center of the room, it creates interference patterns. In other words, it bounces off of the light, bounces off of each other, and will actually generate a picture of the person that you took a photograph of, only it'll look three-dimensional. That's what a hologram is. Now, the interesting thing, one of the most interesting things about a hologram is that when you have a little piece of a hologram, it reflects the entire whole. That's why, like, reflexology works on the kidneys or the back or your head by rubbing your feet or your hands, because your feet or your hands are a little piece of the whole holographic body. Now, your body is also a hologram to the entire universe. That means that your body will be to tell you anything, anything. Now, that might sound wild, but it's absolutely true. A couple things on that. When I first learned muscle testing when I was in massage school back in the early 80s, what was going on is they were teaching us how to ask the body questions like, is this the problem or that the problem with the body? Do you take this medicine or that medicine? Do you take that medicine 2 times a day or 3 times a day? Things like that to help diagnose and treat the body. The interesting thing is that I found out playing with this is that the person on one side of the room could tell me all about their body, but they could also tell me about the body on the other side of the room. So after investigating this a little bit, I looked a little bit deeper, Anybody can tell me anything about anyone's body, anywhere. And not only about bodies. Your body can tell you what's going to happen, what has happened. It is a tiny little piece of the entire universal hologram and therefore can reflect all of it. Now, this is an amazing discovery because it could tell us so much. Now, there's this guy that I was introduced to recently. His name is Mike. And Mike is an American guy who lives in Colombia and does medical consultations. And you have to call him in Colombia. And he muscle tests your frequency on the phone and tells you what's wrong with you. Now, that might seem pretty far-fetched. And he also gives you amazing home remedies homeopathic remedies that fix it. Now, I was given his number by someone who had nodules on her thyroid that disappeared in 3 days from this guy's diagnosis and suggestion for treatment. And, you know, the suggestions were interesting food suggestions, turmeric, coriander, things that we would use for food. He created a medicine out of them and completely changed her body. Now, I called him for something else. My son called him for something else. And he's just about handled everyone perfectly. I'm so impressed with this guy. And you know what he does? Muscle testing. His body is a holographic piece of the entire holographic universe. So if he puts his attention on anyone or anything, his body answers. Now, this is true. Go on the internet. Learn how to do some muscle testing. There's this girl named Dawn something or other. She was doing Theta Healing YouTube videos. I saw it a few days ago. And she does this little thing on how to do muscle testing that's really effective, just standing and doing your own muscle testing. And you can prove it to yourself. It's absolutely phenomenal. Anyway, let's go back to this because that's fascinating information. But I want to go back to the subject tonight, which is addiction. The body generates emotional memory unless you reprogram to generate a new creation. Now, we said this in a different way already, and I really want you to understand this, that if you wake up in the morning and you don't decide who you are, and now this is not creating ritual and, you know, running around the house backwards 3 times or putting crystals all over your body or praying in a certain way backwards or whatever it is that the ritual that you think works for you works. Well, we're not talking about ritual. We're talking about just feeling you in your day, just pretending like you're moving through your day and how amazing you feel and the magic that happens and the people that you meet and how people that meet you walk away feeling wonderful. Now, if you don't do that and you just get up and you're the same person feeling the same things, the same 60,000 thoughts today that you felt yesterday, what happens is your body will create experiences for you that makes your body believes that you are this person and will generate this pattern over again and over again and over again and over again. And if you don't want the same thing you had yesterday and the day before and 10 years ago and 20 years ago, it's time to create something new, something that you really want to be, something that you really want to have, and something that you really would love to do. It's time to take control of your own emotional state. Now, your body believes you. Remember, your body believes you. So if you create an experience and you feel that experience as though it was real in your body will begin slowly producing experiences that you're telling it to change to. Now, your body creates patterns in your life. What you go through over and over again, as we said, even if you're not aware of it. We avoid creating miracles. We avoid creating amazing things in our lives by letting those little seeds of fear creep in. If we educate ourselves on how to dream big and believe it will happen, we change ourselves from the inside out. We shift our lives from fearful to fearless. Now, this concept of dreaming big is an interesting one. The first thing I want to say about it is to never create something that you don't want to live, that you can't handle the energy from. In other words, you can dream becoming the president of the United States. And if you really believed it and you began generating that in your body all the time, you would experience it. But do you really want that? And all the struggle that goes with it. I don't mean struggling to become the president. I mean struggling with the details of that particular job. Even asking for a huge amount of money, make sure that you really want to handle that kind of energy. So the first rule is never ask for something that's going to be difficult for you to deal with from where you are. Now, you can ask for anything, as I said, but if you ask for something that's pretty far beyond where you are right now, be prepared for a storm. And I was doing a seminar on Saturday, and I told my group there that you have to be prepared for a storm, because the whole universe will turn your life upside down because you can't get to that creation from where you are. Everything has to change. So sometimes you get this huge upheaval, scares the bejeebies out of you because you forget that it was generated by you. You get your attention stuck on the storm and you'll lose the end result. Remember, you are where your attention takes you. In fact, you are your attention, to quote Patanjali, the Indian sage. So let's talk now a minute about entanglement, because entanglement, we can't really explain anything in detail unless we talk about this. Entanglement means that everything and everyone is entangled or connected together. Entanglement brings everything you think and feel right to you. In other words, if you stop seeing yourself as one little entity disconnected from everyone else, and instead it was an interconnected, invisible fiber, or matrix, or what's another word? Wavelengths of possibilities that connected everyone, where every time you thought something, it changed the quantum field. Every time you felt something, it changed the quantum field. And everyone around you, actually everyone in the world, felt it just a little bit. So let's talk about patterns a little bit, what our emotional addictions are. And we can find that out a little bit more by asking a few questions. What single change, this is the first question, what single change could you make in your life in order to give yourself the most joy? That's a good one, isn't it? What single change could you make in your life in order to give yourself joy? And it kind of points to patterns. What single change would give you the most relief? What I mean by that is if you solved the problem, if you got the new car, if you could shift the money or the time or the people in your life, what one single problem, one single issue would give you the most relief? What is your biggest concern? What issue do you spend most of your energy on? What lack is the source of your greatest emotional pain? If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you wish for? It's important to know what you want. And start out slow to begin with, till you understand that you're the one generating it. You are the one doing it. It's not accidental. You are the one creating your life, creating your world. So how do you release those emotional addictions? How do you get yourself to stop eating emotionally, to stop having that six pack when you get home from work? How do you get yourself to stop just vegetating in front of the TV for hours and wasting so much of your life? How do you get yourself to pay attention to your children, to your husband, to your wife, to the people in your world, where you look at them and suddenly they feel like they're the most important thing in the world to you, where you were completely ignoring them a minute ago because you were stuck in your own emotional traps, your own emotional, I don't know what, my vocabulary is off tonight, your own emotional soup. How do you get yourself to release that? This is one way. Create something better. Wake up in the morning and say, you know, today, this is who I am. I'm happier. I feel good about my life. I'm going to meet some amazing people. I'm going to do some wonderful things. I'm going to make changes in my life and changes into other people's lives just by being loving, being there, being aware, present with them today. And as you begin making these changes, when these addictions begin coming up, either addictions to make yourself feel bad about yourself, to make yourself feel bad about your world, to make yourself focus on what you don't have rather than what you're grateful for. When these addictions begin moving in on you, what is important to do is to go back to that original creation. So it's important that you write it down. Write it down. In other words, write down, I'm so happy and grateful now that life is content and fulfilled and I feel like I've achieved so much on a daily basis. You don't have to know exactly what you're going to do to have that experience. You just need to be the solution and be in that experience. It's important to write it down. Because if you don't write it down, the emotional addictions rule. In other words, if you don't write it down, the emotions come in with a power that's far greater than this new little creation you're making. And it'll just run right over the top of it. It's like taking an 18-wheel truck and driving through the mud 1,000 times with these negative thoughts and emotions, and then taking a little Volkswagen Beetle and trying to go in the other direction. And you make a little bit of headway and then back in the rut. So in order to gain a little more headway, it's important to write down this new creation. I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. I'm so joyous now that this is who I am. And when that other stuff comes back in on you, because it will, because it's a habit of thought, it's a habit, it generates over again and over again and over again. And when it does, it generates the emotion. Then when it does, your body believes it and generates another experience that causes the same emotional state, the same thought state, and you have the same day you had today as you had yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before. That causes us to lose hope. We lose hope that life is even interesting. But it's not life at all that's the problem. It's what we're thinking about that's the problem. So, my dear friends, I have a challenge for you. Next week is my last spiritual connection, Secrets of the Soul, and then we're moving to the new station, PamelaLatourRadio.com. So between now and next week, my challenge to you is that I want you to write down a beautiful creation of beingness. Who am I being today? Who am I being to the people around me? Who am I being to myself? How much love can I flow into my body and the bodies of those around me? That's right. You can flow love into anyone else's body as well. You don't have to tell them you're doing that or they'll think you're weird, but you do it anyway. Someone's permission to love them, because that energy is the source of who we are. It's who they are. It's who you are. It just brings them closer to who they are. Speeds up their body faster, because remember, love is a very, very fast emotion. So when you flow love into someone's body, it changes them, bypasses the hypothalamus, and changes the cells directly. You can literally heal someone just by sending them love. Granted, all of these lovely healing techniques, and there's a million of them, and you probably know them. I won't go into them because I don't want to make anyone feel bad. All of those healing techniques are really wonderful. But there's one common denominator, one thread that runs through all of them, that you can do Reiki, you can do Theta healing, you can do a million other things until you're blue. If you don't send love with your intention, it really doesn't change much. Love is the vital key, the thread that goes through everything. And if you send love, only love, you'll change someone's life. You'll heal them. Look at the cashier across the counter at Publix or the grocery store, or you talk to the mechanic who's fixing your car, or you call the electric company and you're talking to someone on the phone. If you continuously, intentionally send love, your energy will be way up, your disease and pain and discomfort way down, and you'll change the lives of everyone around you, everyone that your life touches, in the same way. So that's the first principle of changing your emotional patterns, changing the addictions. And when you get into the addiction, when you let yourself slip back down into it, or you feel yourself slipping, take out that piece of paper that you wrote the new creation down on and read it again and feel it again. Don't let yourself go there anymore. This is who I am now. That stuff is who I used to be. So that's tonight's show. It goes by so fast. Let's do a little bit of a meditation before we end. Take a deep breath in. Put your back against the chair and your feet on the floor. Fill your body with air and release the air slowly out of your mouth. And when you do, release with it the stress and tension from the day until your body feels a little more relaxed, a little heavier. Now take a deep breath into your feet and your ankles. As you breathe out, I want you to release any stress or tension in your feet and ankles. All the muscles just relax completely. Till your feet and your ankles are heavy, completely relaxed and limp. Now take a deep breath into your calves, your thighs. Through and around the muscles. And as you breathe out, release stress or tension from your legs. Till they're heavy, relaxed, and limp. Take a deep breath into the muscles in your pelvic floor and your lower abdomen and your lower back, your lower torso up to your rib cage. Fill that area up with air. Feel the air you're breathing in move around and through those muscles. And when you breathe out, I want you to release those muscles. Release it completely until they're heavy. Relax. Now breathe into your upper torso, your upper back, your upper chest, all the way up to your shoulders. Fill that area up with air and those muscles up with air. As you breathe out, release the stress or tension from those muscles until they're heavy, relaxed, and limp. Now breathe into your arms, both arms together, from the top of your shoulder down to your elbows, your wrists, down to the end of your fingers. Fill those muscles up with air, and as you breathe out, I want you to release any stress or tension in those muscles until they're heavy, relaxed, and limp. Breathe into the back of your neck. Bring the head down your facial muscles, down your neck muscles until all the muscles in your head are filled with air. As you breathe out, release the stress and tension of those muscles until they're heavy, relaxed, and limp. Now take one deep breath into your entire body. Fill up your whole body with air, and as you breathe out, release any remaining stress or tension until your entire body is heavy, relaxed, and limp. Mind's eye. I want you to feel your body as an animal that you take care of. Just get the concept, the idea that your body is this beautiful animal that you take care of, that you love. Now, your body has aspects of it or personalities, different animals. And in your mind's eye, on your left-hand side, I want you to pretend that there is an animal there. Whatever animal you see, that's your totem. Whether it's an eagle or a wolf or a tiger or a panther or a bear. Whatever you see, or if it's something else, it doesn't matter. But I want you to see that animal right next to you. Clear as a bell. And I want you to look into the eyes of this animal. And now the animal shape shifts. No matter what animal it was, it becomes this massive bird huge, huge bird. And the bird takes off. And as the bird takes off, you grab a hold of the bottom of its feet, like its talons, that are curled up and so strong that it's easy to pick you up. And in your mind's eye, this bird carries you up into the sky, this beautiful full reflection of your own bodily energy. And as you fly over the sky, through the sky, over people, over houses and trees and fields, over oceans and forests, mountains, as you fly over this beauty of the planet, I want you to get the feeling that the planet itself is an extension of you, like this huge bird, like this beautiful totem. This planet is also an extension of you. I want you to feel the planet. Feel all the people that you're flying over the top of. All the drama, all the joys, all the pain, all the love, all the hate, all the tension and all the release. I want you to feel all of it. As though as you move across the planet, you become the planet and the surface of the planet, the people and the animals, trees, the water, the mountains, you become all of it. Still fly. And then he brings you, this massive bird, brings you back to the room that you sit in, brings you back to this lovely place in this beautiful body. Your totem reappears, whatever that is, that whatever animal is there, reappears next to you, stays with you, and you learn from it for the next week. You learn from this animal. They teach you bravery, patience, and unconditional love. I want you to take a deep breath into your body. Be grateful to have your life. I'm so grateful I have my life. So much. When you're ready, open your eyes. Thank you for sharing this beautiful evening with me tonight. I had such a nice time talking to you. Next week is the last Secret to the Soul show on Spiritual Connections Radio. And I'll give you the details again next week so you can tune in the following week to hear me. And the rest of our wonderful radio shows on PamelaLatoursRadio.com. Until then, until next week at 8 o'clock on Monday night, signing off. Wishing you some beautiful secrets of your soul. Oh.